come a payday. Hallelujah, what a payday. There will come a payday someday, someday. There will come a payday. Hallelujah, what a payday. There will come a payday someday.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast, Cigar Store Idiots. I am Rob, and I have some I got a repeat offender and a new person in today. Guys, I'm going to point at you. Just tell everybody who you are. You, sir, are?
Danny Burnham.
And you, sir, are?
Hayden Terry.
What's happening, fellas?
Man, everything and nothing all at once.
Everything and all the Gypsy Rose stories is coming out. I was told that we're doing a podcast episode on Gypsy Rose, and my wife is going to do that with me. Brittany said, if you do that podcast episode with anybody other than me, I want a divorce.
I was going to ask, who tells you we're going to do stuff on your podcast?
She tells me to, and I just do whatever. So
that's probably wise policy.
Ma'am, yes, ma'am. So we got that one coming up here in the next couple of episodes in the future. We're going to be doing that one. So how's everybody feeling today?
I'm mostly good. I don't have COVID.
Who has COVID?
Well, cousin Johnny and Arlo both had.
They got sick. They had the sick.
They had the gall to get at the same time.
They got the goof.
Hope you guys get better soon. Hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm here. I'm walking around. I'm coming off a knee surgery.
Okay.
As of Friday.
Gotcha. And I'm here hobbling around. I've got a boot on because I told Danny, I said, there's two ways down my stairs in my house, and I don't recommend the second way to anybody.
Nah, that way it hurts.
Yeah. So I got a jacked up foot right now. I'm supposed to be in a boot for like the next 3 weeks. And I don't know if I'm going to make it 3 weeks because I absolutely hate it. I hate everything about it.
I'm good, though.
Foot still hurts. I'm like, I got a boot on. I look goofy, and it still hurts.
I feel guilty about being healthy right now. You guys are in here limping around.
You should be. And then the other thing, too, is like, I was like, if I could find somebody to paint this thing up like Gene Simmons' boot, like put some like teeth on the bottom of it and paint it black with some eyeballs.
Make it cool, a shark mouth on the front of it.
I might be okay with wearing it more than.
I'll tell you guys what, I'll offer up a special prayer for a small donation to the church.
You will?
Yeah, we'll take care of this right now.
Man, before we get into our actual topic stories, let's get into this. On today's What the Florida, a Cutler Bay man was accused of biting the head off of a woman's pet snake during the domestic dispute. According to, of course, it's Miami-Dade police, officers were sent to Sega Bay Apartments on Monday to check out a report of a couple argument. And as they arrived, they could hear the fight going on inside apartment number 108. They knocked on the door several times, had some loud verbal commands to open the door. The fight continued to the point to where the woman started screaming, and the police kicked the door in. As they forced their way in, they saw one about 2 feet from the door. The person she was fighting with was 32-year-old Kevin Mayorga, and he ran behind a door and closed it, according to police. One of the officers used his taser on Mayorga with no effects. It's bath salts.
That's impressive.
It's bath salts.
Definitely bath salts.
He was removed from the apartment. He had struck an officer in the face with his arm while he was handcuffed, causing an abrasion to the officer's face. Man, he's stacking on those charges. The police said Mayorga continued to resist as he was taken to the ground, and he was placed in leg restraints, which he was hogtied. At that point, the woman told the officers that he bit the head off her baby, not her baby, but her pet ball python.
All right, I was waiting on the snake to come in.
He bit my baby, too. The dead snake was found next to the door with its head detached, and Mayorga was taken into custody and charged with resisting an officer with violence, false imprisonment, and animal cruelty. What's your takeaways, gentlemen?
You know, I've killed a snake or two in my time. You know, and the good old-fashioned way to do it is with a shovel.
Or a hoe.
Or a hoe, right across the back of the neck. It doesn't always, I mean, like, you can whack these things, and the head, like, you got to commit yourself to killing this snake.
Yeah.
I don't imagine what kind of bite force it takes to sever the head, like, in one, I don't know. I mean,
and that snake's going to be opening, it's trying to bite you the whole time you're biting it.
Biting you back, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not putting my face next to a snake or trying to bite a snake.
Like, I mean, Well, and I need to know the dimensions of the snake, too.
You how
know?
Big was the snake? Yeah, I mean, was he holding it like a whopper? Like,
well, you know, I said a baby ball python, but like, I mean, what's a baby snake? How old is a, or is it, man, just is it two when it's still a baby?
Are we talking like gummy worm size or like full size?
Like
gummy worms.
I'm not,
I can do that. I can handle that.
But how high do you have to be to bite a snake's head off?
All the way.
Yeah.
I mean, all the way high.
You got to be
high enough to bite a bass.
So maybe 10 out of 10. We're dealing with a combination of then of bass salts and the meth. I mean,
it's good. I mean, there's a few out there, a guy driving around with nitroglycerin and rattlesnakes in the trunk of his car. There's one of those.
It's like
stories.
A full on Ricky Bobby scenario.
It's like, this can't even be real.
The
so.
There's a cougar in the car.
You got to love it, though, man. This is what makes Florida Man. Florida Man. It's the fantastic.
And again, we always say,
unbelievable.
Is this real or is it made up? Whatever it is, it's still entertaining.
It is. It doesn't matter. People still watch pro wrestling. God bless them.
Hey, wait a minute.
No offense to anybody.
It's fine. It's fine. It's okay. Yeah, man. Pro wrestling. Vince McMahon got himself in some trouble.
Oh, yeah. It's getting thick over there.
Yeah, it's getting bad. So I think it's always been bad for so long, and like people's just been afraid of him because he could destroy their careers.
Yeah.
And now
he's on the
chopping shop, chopping block.
What?
So
isn't it him and Brock Lesnar too?
Yeah, Brock Lesnar got pulled in on it too.
Well,
so
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Lesnar's... apparently he'd been trafficking. They can you can damn well write it up as sex trafficking now.
Ooh.
But he had one person that was working for the company, and he was basically they call it sextortion. Mm-hmm. Sextortion. So they take photos or videos of inappropriate videos or photos that you send to them, and then they use them and extort you with them. And so he was using her, showing her pictures, having her do lewd sexual acts with other people. And apparently that's what got Brock Lesnar back on the roster last year.
Yeah.
Was he was asking to have some playtime with her. And so now it's bad. It's so bad.
Probably also why Vince has unloaded.
Yeah, he's like, he's out. He's out.
Yeah, they cut him. They blackballed and got rid of Lesnar. He's out of UFC.
Yeah, he's done too. Wow. Yeah. But the crazy thing is, this is just the tip of the iceberg on that story. I mean, man, there's going to be so many other people come out.
Well, and it's probably going to go back 40 years.
And it's a known thing too. Pat Patterson, Pat Patterson's a big name with the WWF, WWE. He's been with that organization for years. And it's a well-known thing that if you wanted to wear the strap, you had to sleep with Pat. And, that's why a lot of the wrestlers did not like the Ultimate Warrior, because he was okay with that. And a lot of guys didn't get the push or didn't make it because they wouldn't sleep with Pat Patterson. So
people have asked me before as a pastor what it means to sell your soul. That's what it means.
That's it.
That's the definition right there.
What are you willing to do to wear the Batman costume?
Ooh, yeah. Man. For real. Man, I didn't even think. The Batman costume.
So, I mean, that goes back to the Weinsteins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nasty, dude. But like I said, I think that's the tip of the iceberg. And there's going to be a lot more that's come out. I mean, you think about how many people have died for that organization over the decades.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So, but we're going to take this in another direction. We'll kind of piggyback off the episode that we did last time you were in with the Prosperity Gospel Parasites.
Reoccurring theme when I'm on, right?
We had a conversation, and we were talking about, I told you that somebody had asked me, they said, how in the world did you find this story? And then when you and I were talking, it's like, the sad thing is, there's a million of them out there.
They're not hard to find.
I found a couple that we will talk about today where people using the name of the Lord to con and swindle and cheat people out of money or do illegal activities
or anything in between.
So the one I wanted to start off with, this one drives me completely bonkers. And we kind of like talked about it. We teased it a couple of times on a couple of the episodes. We're just really making fun of it. But believe it or not, think about winning the lottery. Okay. And you're a good hearted person and you go to church. And you tithe every week, And what do you want to do if you win the lottery? You probably want to give the church some money.
Yeah.
You know, you want to like, hey, I've got, you know, the Lord has blessed me with this windfall of money. What can I do to help the church?
Yeah.
Well, what if you, pastor, didn't feel like you gave the church enough money and he decided to sue you in the court of law?
Yeah. There's a, we did talk about this before and we didn't super get into it. And I'm still wrapping my brain around that idea. I put myself in that pastor's shoes, obviously. And what could his mindset have been? You know, I'm always grateful when somebody gives money to the church. I've never thought to question, why didn't you give more?
Yeah.
You know, and I know people, I got folks in my church, I know folks at other churches, and they got, you know, there's issues going on, and they don't have nobody's got any money right now.
Well, especially right now.
Yeah. So, like, I get it. You know, your offering is down, or offering's down across the board.
Yeah.
But this lady comes into a gajillion dollars, and she gives some of it to the church. Well, like, cool, that's great. Now we can build that wheelchair ramp on the back of the church for those people, you know, like that's great.
We can stock up our pantry,
yeah,
for you know, people to help these homeless people stay warm.
So I don't know what is the expectation then. So what was, do you know the amount she won? You probably already said it.
So no, not yet. So
she won.
Yeah,
so I just kind of
pastor won.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so
her church won the lottery.
Let's dig into this thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
A local North Carolina pastor allegedly sued a controversial Powerball lottery winner, 27-year-old mother of four, Marie Holmes, single mother of four, for $10 million for reneging on a verbal promise to give the church 1.5 of her winnings. Did she?
How much did she give?
Hold on, let's get in there. Pastor Kevin Matthews, whose church affiliation is still unclear, told the publication he is expecting an emotional, he is experiencing emotional and mental distress after Holmes changed her mind about gifting the $1.5 million to help him build a retreat center. Because of this emotional distress they have put me through, I have started taking more anxiety and depression medication.
Woo.
Sounds like you got more problems.
He does. First problem is not trusting God at all.
is this a retreat center?
This is
troubled youth. Is this a retreat center for rehab, or is this his vacation home that he was having built?
Right, retreat, like, center. Like, what are we doing with that term?
This is some shady stuff already.
So it does not say, it doesn't say what she did give the church. It doesn't say. But let's take a look at this, okay? This man is suing this woman on behalf of the church.
Right, right.
For $10 million.
So she had to have won 50, 80, 100 million. Like, yeah. It had to have been a lot. Yeah.
Let's just say she won $50 million, okay? Yeah. So she wins $50 million. She's, after taxes, she may get half of that.
Right.
So let's break that down. Say she wins $20 million, and he's going to sue her for $10 million for half of whatever she's got. Is that money taxable?
Her money is.
No, when she gives it to the church.
No, when she gives it to the church, it's not.
Okay.
So that right?
Yeah.
There's the, yeah.
Yeah.
What's ruffling me a little bit is it was a verbal contract of, what, $1.5 million?
Yeah.
So he's there. Almost 10x, dude.
Yeah, he already had the G-Wagon picked out.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He already had everything picked out.
Yeah, he had already earmarked.
He
money.
Spent half that money.
I think he was hoping that maybe she won $100 million and had promised 1.5, and he thought, well, you know what, she can do more than that, and she'll feel bad, and she'll just do this on her own, and he'd work this scenario up in his mind where he was like going to make all this money on it, and of course it's not taxable, and now we can raise my salary and build this, air quotes, retreat, you know, like,
because that's gonna make us this much money throughout,
right,
the year.
Right. Oh man, we do. I mean, we got bills to pay, we got to keep the lights on, but there are very, very few things we do in church, we should do in church.
My baby needs some new J's,
right? Based on how much money it's gonna bring in. There's fundraisers, like churches do fundraisers, but they're broke, you know, that's, yeah, why churches do fundraisers. It's, yeah, not because, or it should be. You know, I think about churches locally, and like, we've got a fundraiser coming up because we don't have a ton of money. Nobody won the lottery and gave us $1.5 million. And if, yeah, they did, I would say thank you.
Yeah.
And I'd give them a giving statement, and then, you know, we'd go on about our days.
Yeah. This whole guy kind of reminds me of a story that I knew. There was a company in this area that used to make chairs for churches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I knew a guy that worked in the office there, and he would tell me these stories of how these churches would order like 30, you know, $50,000 worth of church, like chairs for their churches, like, you know, like
if you're big, not careful, you're going to say the name of the company.
And they would go, these pastors would call in and say, the Lord spoke to me and laid it on my heart to call you and ask you if you'd forgive us for our debts, if you would wipe our slate clean with debt, because, you know, he asked me to ask you.
That's
find it in
scummy,
your heart,
man.
And he was like, nope, we're repossessing your chairs.
To ask for a donation as a church is one thing. Like, if I come up to you and I go, hey, Rob, my church needs X, Y, and Z, would you consider giving us some money? Like, okay, cool. But for me to ask you to perform a service time and resources involved, and you've made that investment, and then I go, yeah, I don't think the Lord wants us to pay for that. Well, like, the Lord doesn't want you to crawfish on a deal either.
Right.
You know, keep your word. Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Right. Let's, yeah.
You're about to pop over there. Go ahead.
No. This
episode will blow your mind. I mean, it's like, it's still like, we know it's out there, and we see it in the news, and we hear stories and stuff. But the abundance of stories that is on this subject matter, this topic, just absolutely blows my mind.
We picked three here, and we pared it down from
six
that we found in the last 12 hours.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get to this one. This one is wild. Now, we're starting out kind of, we're lowballing this thing.
Right.
Wait till we get to the end of this thing. So, how about this one? We're selling drugs in the name of Jesus.
I mean, why not?
A pastor and son charged with a drug bust at a church. We got Charlotte, North Carolina law enforcement investigation in Davis County into drugs that were being sold, led by a Baptist church on Sundays. Deputies from Davis County Sheriff's Office arrived at Southside Baptist Church in Lexington after receiving reports that a man staying at the church was manufacturing marijuana. Okay.
You got a captive audience, right?
Manufacturing?
Oh, yeah.
You're growing pot on church.
Yes.
Property. That's cool.
That's not cool at all. That's not cool at all.
I got questions once more. What the heck is going on in North Carolina?
One neighbor said, I hope they burn in hell and I'm a Christian, and that's wrong. She probably had two or three teeth. Smoking on a cigarette, standing there in her Tweety Bird t-shirt.
Shower cap on, rollers in her hair.
Not judging.
Man.
The pastor told deputies that the church had not been in operation and it was closed since COVID-19 pandemic. And former members said the pastor closed the church before the pandemic. Okay.
And they were more recently growing and selling marijuana out of there, functioning under the guise of a church.
Yes.
That's its own crime.
Upon further investigation, deputies searched and seized about 12 pounds of marijuana, 32 grams of psilocybin mushrooms, 41 THC vape pens, 20 marijuana plants, and about 2 pounds of THC wax. The church pastor identified member as Josh Price and his son, Matthew Price. They were arrested for their alleged role in the drug operation. The charges with manufacturing marijuana, trafficking marijuana, possession, intent to sell, 3 counts of felony maintaining and dwelling, possessing an intent to sell, deliver marijuana, and a conspiracy to traffic. Both suspects have a court date of July 25th in Davis County District Court, according to the Sheriff's Office. Former church member Mike Lambeth said he tried to warn the church about Price when Price first came into the church 3 years ago. This guy, I met him one time, and our spirits didn't bear witness at all. Mm. And I did not think he was a pastor. And I told a lot of the members here, y'all better watch out.
Turns out he was right.
He was right.
I don't, but that lets you in on how exactly how scummy this really is. Like, this is so greasy. Because there are places in America where you can go and have that business.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
You can grow and sell all types of cannabis products now and marijuana, you know, and the psilocybin. There's a place here in Georgia they're working on that's going to grow, you know, these psilocybin mushrooms. But to do that
in the church,
in the church, in what used to be the church, right? And
this is a whole new twist on holy smokes.
Oh.
But to be making this in the church is just the wildest thing. Where are you doing this in the baptismal? Where?
I mean, think about a church, like just the typical church. You know, you got a big sanctuary, you got some Sunday school rooms.
Yep.
You do have a baptismal, so there's water in the biggest room in the building.
Yeah, you're limited on spaces though, because you have high traffic areas, I would think, and surely somebody's going to catch on to your.
If they're not, if there's not a church there anymore, if the church closed, you know, during COVID or whatever, before COVID even, you just got a giant empty building.
So the pastor's just been hanging out for the past 3 years then.
That's what I got from it.
Yeah, what I think is they just looked as a opportunity. Like, yeah. They knew nobody would be in the building, the building would be empty,
yeah.
And who would ever suspect we're growing dope in the church?
Nobody's gonna search a
church.
I mean, somebody will now. They'll be knocking on my door when I get there in an hour. Be, hey, what y'all doing up there?
Yeah, you're about not growing weed.
Not growing weed.
Definitely not growing weed. But somebody is, and I mean... You know, people find uses all the time for old church buildings, but that's probably not the best one for it.
That's I mean, it's still when you think about it, though, it's just like you said, it's some scumbag people in this world.
It really is, man.
And they piggyback off of religion, you know, yeah. Christianity.
Well, this is different even than like the prosperity gospel thing. This is a whole separate kind of scummy, I think.
Yeah, it is.
You can hold somebody's salvation over their head and go make a donation to the church. Well, okay, whatever. You can scare me into that. But, like, I'm glad everybody's gone so I can grow some weed and mushrooms in here now. Like, that's a whole different thing.
What about the lottery pastor? Do you think that he told that lady that she's going to hell?
I'm sure he did. I'm 100%
you
convinced.
And your four kids are going to hell.
Unless you give me this $1.5 million, and then we're going to save you.
Yeah. No, it changes things. I'll say my special prayer then to get you over the hump.
Listen, young Bethany, what we're going to do, I'm going to take this $1.5 million. We're going to put it toward a new center up there on the hilltop. Nobody's going to be loud up there but me.
Yeah, right. My special prayer room.
I'm going to tell you right now. You'll be in heaven with me.
Yeah, I'll see you in paradise.
He's like, I'm getting on my private plane right now and talking to God.
You can't do that on a commercial plane. That's
no,
a
of course
thing.
Not. There's demons everywhere.
No, you can't. Who flies commercial?
Let's take a look. And this is a recent one. This is one that this just broke. This just came out back in on the 23rd of this month. Denver, Colorado, pastor for an online church was accused of defrauding investors for more than $3.2 million through cryptocurrency market he ran with his wife. Says the Lord helped him orchestrate this venture.
No, he did not.
Jesus. What do you know about Bitcoin?
The Lord told me to defraud.
Well, my son, I don't think you should fool with it.
Right.
Colorado Securities Commissioner filed a civil fraud case against Eli.
Jim Stone.
Yeah, for real. Regliotto and his wife, Caitlin Regliotto, says Denver couple targeted Christian communities and told followers that God would make them rich if they'd invest in cryptocurrency called INDX coin. Okay.
There are zero, not a single place in the Bible that says you'll be rich. That is not guaranteed. As a matter of fact, the only thing that is guaranteed is persecution and hard times and bad things that happen to us.
I actually will be more spirited to read my Bible just to see what the Lord says about Bitcoin now. I was trying to dig in. It's in Psalm something something. I just know it is.
Third assumption. Second opinion.
Second opinions, 1 through 7. Investigators with the Colorado Division of Securities found that from June 22 to April 2023, INDX Coin raised about $3.2 million for more than 300 people who invested. It's essentially worthless. It is essentially worthless. And once they found out, they filed the complaint January 16th.
I would love to introduce that pastor to what we like to call the Ezekiel choke.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
It is a nasty choke.
It's from the Bible.
It's a nasty choke. This reminds me of on Righteous Gemstones where they're building Zion when they're doing the where you heard Baby Billy singing Payday. Investors said that the Regliados, who had ran a cryptocurrency market called the Kingdom Wealth Exchange, used at least $1.3 million of those funds to support a lavish lifestyle. Get ready. Includes tens of thousands of dollars spent on vacations, jewelry, luxury handbags, cosmetic dentistry. Oh, they had that fake, like, Baby Billy
the
teeth.
Veneers and the
clothing, home renovations. The two who shut down the exchange November the 1st are accused of using some of the money to finance the... they bought a Range Rover.
A Range Rover.
No jet planes.
They hadn't worked up to that level yet.
You can tell that she was probably in charge of spending most of this money.
So they stopped this on their own.
Yeah, well, they knew it was getting... The jig was up. Elia Rigliotto did not respond to an email seeking comment Tuesday, but in a video statement to his followers, he said the charges that he and his wife pocketed money are true.
He wasn't hiding this at all.
Out of that $1.3, $500,000 went to the IRS and a few hundred thousand dollars went to a home remodel that the Lord told us to do.
Of course.
He said that in the video, noting that God appeared to him in a dream and gave him advice on how to run the cryptocurrency exchange. He's like, Eli, this is the Lord. I'm going to need you to think hard about cryptocurrency.
Did he provide these instructions on a gold tablet inside of a hat?
Oh, well, maybe.
That only he could read.
Right.
What we are praying for is what we're believing for is God is still going to do a miracle. Yeah, God, please don't let me go to prison for the rest
of
my life.
He needs a miracle.
God is going to work a miracle in the financial sector. He is going to bring a miracle into INDX Coin. Everyone has to come. Everyone that has come for their money is going to be able to receive money back. He preaches from his online only Victorious Grace Church. Danny, I'm going to start an online church.
I know. You can't get yelled at. You can't get berated. You can mute your haters.
You can't.
Regliotto, presentations to his fellow pastors and evangelic Christian promoting INDX Coin are dominated by prayer requests, quotes from the Bible, and encourage potential investors to have the faith that cryptocurrency is going to set them free. They're going
to
reap the abundance of blessings.
If you just believe hard enough, you'll get rich. Give me this money and believe real hard. And as soon as I get done with my home remodel, you can have whatever's left.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, please. I need this for my wife's Range Rover.
Oh, my gosh.
She really needs a 2024.
Do you want me preaching to you with crooked teeth? Come on.
How bad does that look if your pastor ain't got a pretty white smile?
I mean,
August 22, update, video investors, the Lord brought the cryptocurrency to me. He said, take this to my people for a wealth transfer, and it's been confirmed 100 times over since. The couple also told investors that they would tithe and sow, and would cause the cause also is going to help widows and got to bring in the
widows
and orphans.
That's in the book of James.
But the payments to the widows and orphans were primarily gonna be, were they gonna pay them in cryptocurrency?
Well, his wife was gonna be an orphan one day, or a widow one day, so he went ahead and bought her that Range Rover.
True, true. They have no previous experience in selling cryptocurrency and are accused of violating the anti-fraud licensing and registration provisions of Colorado Securities Act.
Of course they are.
They actually were in court. Today's the 31st. They actually went to court on January the 29th. I'm so sad I don't have any pictures of them. I can almost guess what they look like.
There's one. There was a picture tied to at least one article, and he's sitting behind kind of like a microphone like what we've got here.
Oh.
Like he was on a podcast set. See? He's talking about this stuff.
We can do this.
We can.
We can.
I think Reformed Coin is hitting the market in 2024.
If you guys want to get closer to
Redeemer
God.
Redeemer Coin.
The Redeemer Coin.
If you guys want to get closer to God, I'm going to need you to just go to church, read your Bible. Oh, that's all you got to do.
That's it.
That's how it works.
That's the short answer.
That's how it works. Do we go after the Ponzi scheme, Pastor, or do we... Let's just go ahead and kick the doors in.
Let's do it.
On the Mormon church.
Let's do it. Hayden already did.
I was going to say, I've already dragged them.
The golden tablets.
This one is shocking. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. And if you know these stories already, that means you don't have... That means you have a lot of time on your hands like I do and look up stuff like this. Feds fine the Mormon church for illicitly holding or hiding... $32 billion with a B investment fund behind shell companies.
Billions.
With a B.
Billions.
Billion. Okay.
The Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, a nonprofit entity that has control, that in control have been fined $5 million. That's all. Only $5 million. That's all they've been fined.
Of the $32
billion. Yeah. Securities and Exchange Commission over accusations that the religious institution failed to properly disclose its investment holdings. So what they've done, they take this large sum of money and they've started all these other umbrella type, not really, all these nonprofit businesses, organizations.
Yeah. Or maybe even for-profits that lose money.
Yeah. And they hide all this money. What is the difference in this and money laundering?
There's not one.
Thank you for
saying
that.
There's no difference.
They're still trying to wrap a bow on this story. Yeah. It's money laundering.
Well, and there's being in the church, there's a biblical precedent for this. There's a man and a woman named Ananias and Sapphira. And they sold a bunch of land, and they promised to give, which may go back to the lottery later, they promised to give, well, they told the church that you can have the money from the land. And then they said, we sold it for, I forget the amount, so say we sold it for 100, but they really sold it for 200, and they pocketed 100. Mm. God struck them both dead, like immediately. They just fell over and died right there in the church.
Why are you going to play with that kind of
so,
fire?
You know...
I mean, what are you doing?
You can lie to me. You can lie to Hayden. I can lie to you, and that game none of us lie.
You can
to
lie
God.
In your bed past 10 o'clock,
right? You can't lie to God.
You can't lie to God.
He knows.
$32 billion. For more than half a century, the Mormon Church quietly built one of the largest investment funds. Almost no one outside the church knew about it. So it's organized crime. It's money laundering.
What always was. And they're gonna come after me, man. They're going to come after him.
It's fine.
So the Mormon, if you look at the origins of the Mormon church, Joseph Smith found these, the entire story I'm about to tell is surrounded by air quotes, found these golden tablets in a cave, him and six of his buddies. I think it was maybe eight of them. There's a bunch of them. And they said that the angel, Moroni, who used to be a man and died and became an angel, which doesn't happen either, showed us these tablets. And now you have to listen to what we say. Oh, I lost the tablets. I don't know where they are, but I memorized everything and I wrote this book about it. And Jesus came to America and all this weird stuff. Since then, all of his buddies recanted and said, yeah, that didn't happen. That's not a real thing.
Jesus came to America?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man, he put together a reed boat and like made it out of like cattails and floated over here.
Did he fight Ivan Drago? That was Apollo Creed.
He went to a draw.
Coming to America. Never mind. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but the whole story of, I don't know how many Mormon listeners you might have.
We got some.
Yeah,
got
the
some.
Story it's of fine. Mormonism parallels Norse mythology. It's the same story as Odin and Thor and Loki.
Oh.
Yeah, like Jesus and the devil are brothers, and the devil is Loki, and Jesus is Thor, essentially. And
did you see that light bulb come on just off of my head?
Yeah, I did. Wow. It popped on just now.
Wow.
the things you learn, right? Wow.
They're all tied together.
They are, and all that to say, I wish it was a surprise that I found out the Mormon Church had $32 billion.
Not surprised. Y'all know why we didn't talk about the Catholic Church today? Because everybody already knows. We ain't telling y'all something y'all don't already know.
I ain't messing with them Scientologists. They'll kill you.
They'll show up at your house. I don't know, man. I just want whatever Tom Cruise is taking to keep himself looking young.
Oh, he's got the voodoo.
Maybe not. Man. Is he drinking baby blood? Man, what is he doing?
Who knows? I'm out. He hadn't aged since 1985.
I know, right?
I don't know. He's still like 5'4".
He is.
I'm not jealous of Tom Cruise.
I'm just a little taller than that, not too much.
I thought
taller,
about that as it was coming out of my mouth. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm not trading the 6 foot.
This boot I got on my foot makes me taller. I just need one on the other side so my hips will stop hurting now.
Even out.
We probably can continue to go in and find money that's hid, find illegal activities that are going on. I mean, it's, but I think we're in a season of people, for a better lack of term, calling people out on their BS now.
Yeah.
Like the past 2 years, we've all sat back and we've just kind of like, water on a duck's back. It's just going to roll off. It's going to roll off. Well, man, I feel like one of them little ducks that got stuck in the crude oil.
Yeah.
And there ain't nothing coming off no more. Like, that's it's all sticking it to like, me, man. And I'm impacted by it. My family's impacted by it. My friends are impacted by it. Our future is impacted by it. And I think where we need to be right now as a society is getting back to what the realness of why we go to church and why we read our Bible.
Yeah.
And why we're there for each other and we stick up for each other and take care of each other. Because I think, and this is my opinion, I think until we get back to that point, we're going to struggle as a society. You know? We have got to stop just allowing people like this. Like, people may listen to this podcast and this is all on me. And they may say that I'm doing something that's harmful to the church. Okay.
Yeah, that's not what this is.
And I'm not trying to do that. Yeah. And I'm not. And again, like we said in the one previously, I'm not trying to do anything to push anybody out of any kind of religion. I want you guys to
dig into what push y'all out of some kind of religion.
Yeah, but I want you to dig into what the realness of it is. Yeah. You know, it ain't Ponzi schemes. It ain't cryptocurrency. It ain't dealing drugs in the bathroom basement. It's not a pastor suing somebody who won the lottery because he didn't get his cut. He didn't get his cut. I just want people to just start being more, just be aware of who you're putting your energy into.
That's what's hurting the church. It ain't a podcast like this. What's hurting the church is people that are actively hurting the church, that are embezzling money. And I don't know, is embezzlement different than laundering, but it's both of those things. And, you know, people look at that and now you sit in a good church. And the offering plate comes by, and you have second thoughts about dropping money in there.
That hurts the church.
It does. It absolutely does. And, you know, we have this nonprofit status as a church, and people look at that and go, well, we need to start taxing the church. That'll fix everything. That would close so many churches.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt, you know, the church that's got $32 billion stuck in the wall, but it would hurt a bunch of other churches who were probably, you know, doing the right things and saying the right things, especially. But it does make people hesitate.
This is going to be sensitive for me to say this, and I mean it when I say it. And again, it's my opinion. It's not anybody. It doesn't reflect anybody else that's sitting at this table with me. But you can take a look how the mafia is organized and works, and you can kind of see some parallel correlations to how some of these churches run. You know, they run their church like the mafia.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Well, you kind of got to. I mean, you have an organization, you got a top dog, top in a building in Nashville who runs a whole convention down. And to me, what makes me wonder is at what point did this like start? Like when did we change from the good old pastor who actually cared to now it's this next generation, which is probably my generation, my fault, our fault, because we grew up on mega pastors who are throwing concerts, and it's like, oh, that's what we got to do as a church.
Yeah,
we got to make.
You got to have Spider-Man. You got to have Iron Man on the cross.
Yeah,
yeah. We got to have
videos.
Well,
I mean, you can go back. I can take you back to at least 1517 when Martin Luther looked at the church and they were selling indulgences, and like you could buy Uncle Tom. Maybe I shouldn't have used. You could buy your uncle's way into heaven. One of your relatives that had gone on before you, he's stuck in purgatory
until you give us your calf,
buy him out of there.
Yeah.
So, but it was going on before that. He was just the first one to notice it at that point and go, "Hey, this ain't." As a monk, the average man, you know, didn't have access to the Bible at that point, especially when it was in Latin and nobody could read it. But as a monk, he did. He had access and he read it, and he's like, "Well, that's not right. We're not doing, you know, that's not the right thing that we're doing there." So he starts calling them out on it. Well, then he spent the rest of his life running for his life because they just tried to kill him as long as he lived. But it's been going on before that. That wasn't the first time it happened. But if you claim to hold somebody's eternity in your hand, you know, whatever you believe about what happens after you die, we stand up in front of church and say you either go to heaven or you go to hell, and you make that decision based on, you know, how much you give to the church or how much I might or might not pray for you based on that amount. And I can control that in some way, and I can hold that over your head. Or I know because I've got a direct line to God, and I can say, Hayden, you ain't been right in a while. I think you ought to put a little more money in the plate and balance things out and come to church a little more often or whatever. But I can hold that over your head, and you go, well, man, surely the pastor knows, right? He's got to know because he's got the direct line to God when he locks himself in his office and prays and does, you know, whatever. But that's been going on forever.
Yeah.
Listen, tango's broke, by the way.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And we don't have money. Sorry, can't do it.
No, yeah. I mean, you take a look at, like, you know, and we do what we can do, too. You know, we struggle, like, just like everybody else. You know, this economy that we're in right now and the grocery prices and, you know, we go to church in Calhoun. So that's another expense for us, too, is drive. I mean, I go to church. I go up there 3 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to get connect, you know, do things and work up there and be connected in there. And, I mean, but sometimes it's harder than others. But, you know, we always do what we can. But I've been in churches to where I've heard a pastor just browbeat the congregation and then pass the plates out again.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've been there where they've done too.
And I'm just like, are you freaking kidding me right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to just take the plate and just like fling it.
I've walked out of church before when that's happened.
Yeah.
Because I remember we were in church one time and there was a need. The church had a need and there weren't many of us. It was a little bitty, you know, little white church. And so we passed a plate around, and some folks really, like, sacrificed a bunch and gave, and we met this goal. We had a guest preacher the next weekend, and he's talking about, you know, being faithful and giving and coming to church and doing all these things, and I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, well, how much did y'all give last week? Somebody messed around and told him. He said, I bet we can do that again. Well, like, we didn't have any business trying to raise that amount of money.
Well, he probably got a cut for being there.
I'm sure
he got a percentage of the plate.
I wasn't in leadership at that church at the time.
It's like having comedians. Like,
yeah, just pass the plate. I bet we can do it again. And we did, man. And I'm looking at these people and I'm going, who in the world could afford to do that again? And there wasn't anybody in the room that could. Oh, I knew these people.
Plate on there.
Yeah. I don't know if he got a percentage or what the deal was, but we didn't go to church for much longer there after that. But we got up and left.
If I ever get to a point to where I'm going places and giving my testimony, like, to churches, I'm saying this now, man, if you try to pay me, like, I don't want to go. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm with you. There's precedent for that too in the Bible. Like, it talks about not muzzling the ox while he's treading his grain. Mm-hmm. Like, while the ox is in the field, let him eat a little bit. You know. Yeah. So if I asked you to come to my church, and my church was three states over, or whatever, I should help you out to get there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If you got to fly, buy your plane ticket, put you up.
But
in a hotel,
if you're local, come on.
And you can if to fly across the country, and you can do it under your own means, then that's what you want to do. Then God bless you.
Yeah.
But if somebody, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with a church or some group offering to pay you to come in or to, you know, at least cover your expenses or things like that. But these cats, man, that are like, yeah, I'll show up and speak at your thing for $10 million.
$5,000.
Yeah, whatever it is.
I'll stay and sign 8x10s.
Right.
Like yeah, 10 the, bucks a piece.
The old black and white glossy. Yeah.
What are we doing? What are we even doing anymore?
They do it, man. But it's, you get caught up in this money, same as anything else. And there's guys that do it for a living.
Yeah.
There's, you know, pastors and speakers and things that's their job. And that's fine, but where's the limit on that? When does it turn into greed?
Yeah. Here's another thing too. I'll say is like if you write a book, you're writing a book and you're selling a book and it's whatever. Yeah, yeah. Make the money off the book. You done something, and if it's helping people, you know, people pay for the book.
Right.
Make the money off the book. If you're performing in a concert, you're a performer. You're in the concert. Sell tickets. Yeah. Sell tickets to the concert.
Right.
For sure. If you're doing something, don't just.
Well, you know, like Osteen has written, I don't know how many books. I'm 0% mad that Joel Osteen has written a book and made money off of it. That's what we do, sure. You know, whatever. But the stuff that's in the book is a different story, and, you know, we're not friends as far as that goes.
Right.
But, you know, there are pastors that do that. I've bought books from pastors that have written good stuff that I agree with and or something that I learned from maybe I didn't agree with to begin with. Whatever. You know, there are pastors that have side jobs. I've got a job, you know, that's not being a pastor.
Yeah.
So like it happens. You got to make money. You got to feed your kids. And if you can have a nice life, that's great. But there's a line somewhere where it goes from meeting my need or even having a nice life until now we're being greedy and we're stacking up treasures on earth as opposed to treasures in heaven. And there's just too many scumbags out there doing that.
They are an abundance.
Yeah, they're not hard. That was the, like you said, you know, it was, they're not hard to find.
Yeah, we're going to keep finding y'all. We're going to keep talking
track
about y'all
down.
Too. So.
Man.
What do we got coming up on the Burnham podcast? What are you guys working on right now?
Right now, we've got, let's see, yesterday, this morning-ish, pretty late last night, we released an episode with Mr. David Ogden, who is in the Kahar Advocacy Network. He's a missionary to the Kahar people in northern India who are like, you look at India and where it is way up north, you've got the Kahars, and then just north of that, you got like the Sherpas where Everest is and all that. So that's the kind of the neck of the woods that he's in. So we talked a lot about that. We're doing the grappling thing with PJ Broom. PJ's tackling literally various forms of grappling arts. We need a good name for that project, by the way. We got a few that were floating, but, you know, so we're doing that. What else are we going to do? We got to do a live event again soon. The New Year's live thing was a lot of fun.
Are you going to try to do some? Are you guys going to be able to work over there at the Emperor Penguins?
The
baseball
Penguins?
Season's coming up.
We're going this afternoon, right? Having an opening open house.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Starts at 3 o'clock today.
Yeah. Did we talk with Franklin about that?
We didn't, but we're just going to roll in there.
Okay.
I'll talk to him a little bit later on. I want to have Justin Franklin on.
Okay.
Franklin's going to come. Franklin is in charge of media relations for the Emperors.
Cool.
It's very hard to say that.
It is. I just almost messed it up myself. So
I'm so glad they changed their name.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
What else are we doing?
We've got veteran project.
We're working on a project spotlighting, you know, veteran suicide. What are we doing to our fighting men?
Yeah.
Why do they kill themselves at 22 a day? You know, just a documentary film. Lots of fun stuff.
Hey, y'all got a lot on your plate.
We do. We like it that way.
I need to organize what's on my plate.
You know, I feel like we've got it organized, and then Tango here falls off of his one wheel and blows his knee out. And
you know,
it's a minor setback.
In my defense, I don't think it was the fall. I think it's my body hates me.
I
can relate. I can relate.
Yeah, gravity is hard.
It is. The older you get, the worse it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
My bones don't agree with each other anymore.
Lots of stuff going on, though, man. We got to get you back on there.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to do that. So we get in there and chop it up a little bit.
For sure.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate y'all's time. Thank y'all for coming in this morning. And
I've enjoyed it.
Let's see if we can expose any more dirty, rotten scoundrels in the name of the Lord.
Let's do it.
Everybody stay vertical. All right, see y'all.
Later, guys.